Energy Singularity, the Event Horizon Podcast, a podcast where energy blockchain visionaries discuss the future of energy. Join me, Kevin O'Donovan, as I chat with some of the world's leading visionaries to take a realistic view as to what's really going on. Well, Event Horizon has already happened in June. The theme of this year's conference was Make Your Move. And in the last two episodes, we've heard from energy companies who have already been making some moves. And in this, the final episode of this series of Energy Singularity, we're going to hear from Alia Group on what they've been up to creating a flexibility market enabled by blockchain technology. I'd like to welcome Loic Tillman, Head of Group Innovation, and Chris Larmans, the Project Manager for Disruptive Technology at Alia Group. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Hello, Kevin.
Loic, for people who may not know you, can you do a short introduction?
Yes, sure. So I'm Loic. I'm the Head of Group Innovation at Alia Group. I used to work actually in the energy trading in the past, but also in strategy consulting. Now, since 1 year at the Alia Group, we are mainly working in Belgium and Germany, so where Alia Group has activities focusing on monitoring, validating, and testing different disruptive innovations from drones equipped with artificial intelligence for the recognition of hazard, for example. Also, obviously, on the usage of the testing of usage blockchain for new flexibility market purpose.
Thanks, Loic. And Chris?
So firstly, thank you for inviting us on this blockchain podcast. I'm on the technical side of the innovation department, and my role is to bring new technologies to smooth the business processes, but also improve the productivity and reduce frustration in the day-to-day job. And of course, I support innovation department on the technical side for the project, like with blockchain. And on blockchain, everything is changing so fast. I learn every day. It's a wonderful field.
Loic, who is Alia Group and what do you do?
Well, Alia Group is holding of, mainly constituted of two TSOs. So TSO is a transmission system operator managing and developing the grid at a high voltage. And so the two TSOs in the Alia Group are Alia in Belgium and also 50 Hertz in Germany. So 50 Hertz is one of the four TSOs in the German countries. We have more than 2,400 employees, with more than 19,000 kilometers of cables and high voltage lines, covering more or less the supply of 30 million of people. As a TSO, as a transmission system operator, basically, so Alia in both regions is first managing the asset, so manage the pylons, managing the lines, the cables, the refurbishment and developing the grid, but also managing the system operation. So being sure that we have our lights, keep our lights on during the whole year, and being sure that we have a good balance between the consumption on one side and the production on the other side. Alia Group, both in Germany and Belgium, is also playing the role of market facilitators. So being sure that each player from the market can participate in a non-discriminatory way. So we are developing some flexibility product and flexibility framework and so on, also in collaboration with the other players, other TSOs, and also DSOs. And so Alia is actively working in adapting our power system to be prepared for the future challenges, including so this energy transition with the decentralization and electrification. And is aiming to guarantee to the customer an energy supply that is reliable, secure, and affordable. Alongside the transmission system operator activities, Alia has also a consulting branch called Alia Grid International, EGI, which is supporting some clients all over the world on system operation and asset management topic. Finally, on top of the core business of Alia Group, Alia has also developed in Belgium the initiative Internet of Energy, which is trying to onboard different players for the energy ecosystem to reflect about solution for the energy transition.
At the recent Event Horizon, Yi showcased an interesting use case that's really needed for the energy transition. So what have you been up to?
Yes, sure. So actually, we have done our first project around the usage of blockchain for the management of the decentralized flexibility. And the rationale behind is that if you look at the big trends in the energy sector now, well, we have two overarching trends, which are the decentralization and the electrification on the other side, which means that we will have more and more decentralized players that do not trust each other, that do not know each other, that will need to interact in the market. And if you look at the TSO, so TSO stands for Transmission System Operator, and this is the job of Elia, so managing the high voltage grid, but also managing the balancing of this grid. One of the biggest challenges in the future will be the management of balancing between the consumption and production, knowing that we will have more and more intermittent renewables and more uncertain renewables, and we'll have less and less centralized generation that is used actually for the flexibility. So looking back at the trends, electrification and decentralization, we have also an opportunity to use new kind of flexibility, like the heat pump, the electric cars, or the decentralized storage. But that means that operationally wise, we will need to manage in the future. So we will need flexibility, and we will need to manage from 10 to 20 power plants in Belgium to 100,000 or millions of different flexibility means. And so in that sense, the biggest challenge will firstly be operational. How can you lower the entry barriers to provide access to these new players? But also, how can you onboard these players? And how can you trust this player? And how can you manage all the flow, all the operational flow going with the exchange of flexibility, knowing that you would have a lot of players and that now, for example, a settlement can take between 1 to 2 months. And so if you look at these challenges and you look at the added value of blockchain with the fact that it can bring together different players that do not trust each other and bring distrust without any intermediary, you can see the match. And so in that sense, we wanted in our project to develop a first proof of concept for the management of flexibility contract from the onboarding of the players to the final settlement of the flexibility.
Over the years, as I got to know more and more about what goes on behind the curtains in order to keep our lights on, when it comes to flexibility markets, the market models and infrastructure that enables these models to work, I found intriguing. So Chris, faced with this business challenge to develop a flexibility market that can support potentially millions of participants, why did you look at blockchain?
Blockchain is a technology that we had to check for because we see that the electrical grid is becoming more and more decentralized. And maybe in the future, Elia won't be the only system operator that will orchestrate this grid. And with the emergence of microgrids, new players will appear and will maybe operate this microgrid by themselves. So we need to build some trust for the consumer in this decentralized or even distributed way. And blockchain is really suited for this task, as each new player would not trust each other, as Loic said. And we see also that blockchain could be a good tool to improve our settlement processes, to reduce it to a few minutes against a few months. But one of the important part of it is also to bring new actors like prosumer and consumer to participate to the flexibility market. And today, if you want to participate to this flexibility market, you need to stake a huge amount of currency for a year, and that can be used for penalties. This is not possible for a consumer level. With smart contract, it's easy to stake a small amount of money for the flexibility that you will only offer for the next 15 minutes. And so we think that it will be an enabler for small actors to play a role in the grid equilibrium, and therefore the grid will become more resilient.
Loic, you mentioned that in today's system, it can take months for settlement to happen. And Chris just called out that with this project, you wanted the settlement to happen in hours. So why does it take so long today? And why will blockchain make this entire process go faster?
That's a very good question. So this taking also 1 to 2 months because we need also to transfer data. So there is a long process of data transfer and on money transfer. If you want, as a decentralized player, let's assume that you have your electric car and you want to participate to this flexibility market, you will not want to wait for getting your money or getting the settlement of your flexibility provision. You don't want to wait 2 months. So the goal would be to reduce that up to a few hours or a few days in order to have it very close to the real time, because that you will need in the future, since with the intermittency and uncertainty of renewables, everything is shifting from the more long-term to the more real-time time horizon. In that sense, it will be also our target, and what we have tested in this proof of concept is to reduce this full value chain from 1 to 2 months to a few hours. And thanks to the smart contract, so the automation of the smart contract, and also the capabilities of transferring assets, the crypto assets, you can reduce this, drastically reduce this time. And so after the validation of the delivery, you can just consider, you can just have the settlement in a few minutes.
Okay, now at the recent event Horizon, you presented out what you've accomplished so far. So can you share some details of what you've actually done?
In this project, what we have tested, so it was just to also to explain a bit the context, we have partnered with two players, Settlement and Activity. So Settlement is a startup acting in the blockchain sector. And the second one is Activity. It's notably a market party, a flexibility provider. And so Activity has provided data and has also brought this perspective of market parties in the project. And what we have tested is in a lab mode. So taking into account data flow from real customer, but without activating them directly, how can we complete the process in the blockchain from the registration to finally of the different counterparties, so the flexibility provider, the system operator, and the delivery point, which are really delivering the flexibility, to the bidding, so when you offer the flexibility, and finally when you have been activated, also the financial settlement in token. So we have made really in a lab mode, just to understand first what is the blockchain technology and how it works, because this was one of the first purpose of this proof of concept. And then also to validate that we can effectively transfer this data on the blockchain and that it will the process will not be too slow compared to the process that we have now. We wanted also to validate that with the smart contract, we can achieve a certain level of automation.
Now, a recurring theme throughout the series is that when it comes to blockchain in the energy industry, many folks out there are still very skeptical, are simply just dismissive of blockchain. It's all hype, it's all going to go away. Did you come across any such opinions as you've been doing your work?
Yes, indeed. Internally and externally, we had it. The first issue that we had was communication. So you need to communicate to explain that Bitcoin is not blockchain and blockchain is not Bitcoin internally. And also with the stakeholders that might be impacted from such application that we will use. Then the second issue was also about the second challenge that we had was within the project, we initially intended to transfer a process that was existing into a blockchain process. While you will not use blockchain in the same way that a classical database, you will not put all the data on the blockchain. So it was quite interesting and I would say quite long process to reframe our project starting from the blockchain itself and not from our use cases. And then finally, we had also a lot of skepticism about the added value of the blockchain, considering that it's just a database and we are a centralized counterparty for all the market party. But coming with a demonstrator, but also with quantified impact of the blockchain and smart contract was a bit aha moment. So it helped also, it was an eyes opener for the people within the company. And it supports also the reflection about other use cases because they have seen really what the blockchain can do and what effectively and how effectively it works. So this proof of concept has been used as different impact. First one being, of course, the technical lesson learned from a blockchain point of view, but also from a business point of view. But it had also the impact in terms of communication because it supports now our message and it helped to spread the word about the added value of the blockchain within the company.
So yes, about the fact that people were really skeptical about blockchain, we received a lot of questions about energy consumption and also transaction throughput. Of course, these questions are legit, but this problem are solved today. Mm-hmm. What we think the issue might be much more difficult to solve would be for privacy, as the toolkit that we have today are not quite yet mature. And so bringing privacy on a public blockchain like Energy Web Chain is really difficult. And so we are working hard today to figure out how to bring this privacy in a project like the flexibility market. But also, due to the immutability of the ledger, working in an agile way in IT, it was challenging because as modifying a contract is almost impossible, at some point, everything has to be rebuilt from scratch. And if your contract is relying on information written by external parties, you will learn it by the hard way.
At Alia, you are using the Energy Web Foundation's Energy Web Chain, and that chain went live on the 19th of June. When did you at Alia get involved with the Energy Web Foundation?
Alia was one of the first affiliates of the Energy Web Foundation. And the reason why Alia joined is that within our innovation team, so we considered blockchain as a promising technology, especially considering the trends that we already discussed. And the fundamental of the Energy Web Foundation, which is bringing different players, leading players from the energy sector to support the development of the blockchain technology in this sector and also to collaborate in order to develop some new use cases, was very appealing for the company. That's why in 2017, Alia decided to become, yes, one of the first 10 affiliates of the Energy Web Foundation. And that is now part of, for example, of the first validator nodes of the Energy Web Chain. The interaction with Energy Web Foundation is also supporting our reflection about what could be the use cases for Alia with the blockchain. And I'm not talking only about the people themselves within the Energy Foundation, but also all the ecosystem that the Energy Foundation has built during the recent years.
Chris, you mentioned earlier that you see privacy as an issue. Can you explain a bit more on what the issue is and where does blockchain fit into this? You know, is blockchain part of the problem or is it part of the solution?
Yes. In fact, privacy is not an issue of blockchain. It's an issue for the world system in which we are working today. As today, even when you are sending your password to a server, it's you are sending really your password. And so if you give it away, it's not yours anymore. So it's the same with all the data that you have. And there is some good points about blockchain because everything is transparent, immutable. And so everybody is looking for new ways to improve the privacy on blockchain. But that could be applied for everything in the world that we know in this internet of the data. So I think there will be not an easy answer to that because there won't be any technology that will suit for every use case. But we are currently looking for zero-proof knowledge. Zero-proof knowledge is there almost for 30 years. It's quite possible to do a lot of things with it. And to be applied on blockchain, there is some specification with Zcash-Snark and so on, and Zcash-Stark. And of course, AWF is building the secret store with Parity, and we are also looking for that. And we think that with all these tools combined in different use cases, we may be able to handle the privacy completely for the flexibility market on blockchain. And so, yes, having someone that hide the flexibility bit that he is making from the others, and also having an aggregator that is not showing all the delivery point that is in its portfolio would be really interesting for our project because it's something that's mandatory by law, by the regulator. All this privacy issue are something we need to tackle today.
Now, you made some great points there. There are challenges when it comes to blockchain and privacy. But dealing with privacy is more to do with the entire business process and how you use blockchain's capabilities. It's not that blockchain is anti-privacy. Loic, going back to the whole issue of skepticism in the industry towards blockchain, what was the reaction of your external partners? Are they all blockchain fans or?
We have not interacted already a lot with different partners. Generally, I would say that they are not. Yeah, they are skeptical by default, but they are not against or they are not negative. They are just curious about the impact. And some of the partners are also mentioning that since Alia is a regulated entity with a monopoly, why should Alia use blockchain for the management of decentralized flexibility? Because at the end, they will bring the trust because by default, they are the only customer. The thing is that if you consider in the future a more decentralized energy system with also communities, with also maybe smart grid managers, Alia will not be, and obviously the DSOs, so the distribution system operator, Alia will for sure not be the only user of this flexibility. And so you can see that at the end, if we manage to make it live, a lot of players will benefit also from this. There is also a lot of work of ecosystem onboarding, because if we developed Azalea or as a TSO with the other TSOs, a solution to manage the flexibility with blockchain, the real added value will only be unlocked if you onboard the other players, which means also the DSOs, the flexibility providers, and so on. So there will be also a lot of communication and discussion work when we will find the exact solution that we would like to roll out.
It's all to do with a network effect. Now, let's assume Elia Group deploys this flexibility market, and a few years' time, I'm up in Belgium with my electric vehicle. So how would I engage with this flexibility market? Will I need to be a blockchain hacker to figure out how it works, or is it all done under the covers for me?
It's a very good question. Let's assume that in the future you want to provide flexibility with your car. As you said, you will not have to deal with the blockchain yourself. So this will need to be embedded directly in your meters in order to exchange the data with the blockchain itself in order to manage all the settlement process. So the idea would be to have on the meters, Lightnode able also to communicate with the blockchain in order to exchange the valuable information. And that's also a big outcome of our project, is that only a hash, only a specific value needs to be on the blockchain. And it is only this value that we need to store on the blockchain itself. And then when you have this Lightnode that is able to communicate with the blockchain, you will be able to transmit this data at a certain pace, depending on the kind of data. And this will be used afterwards for the settlement itself. And this is for the data layer. Then you will have also the asset or the money layer, the crypto money layer. And so this is another, so to jump also on the topic of the last question, which was about confidentiality, which is one of the next step that we have identified. There is also all this question about the transfer of value. And for that also, we need to understand better how the blockchain will play a role or not. Because at the end of the month, the people, they do not want, or not yet, EWC token, they would like to have euro. And so this is also something that we don't have the answer yet, but we would like to deep dive, including also the Energy Web Foundation in the months to come.
Now that's a very important point, and it's come up a few times. You don't need to store all the data on the blockchain. Just store what you need in order to have the functionality you need. All the other data can be stored somewhere else. A lot of people are still under the impression that you replace a database with blockchain, and that's not going to end well.
Exactly. And that's actually one of the big lessons learned in our process, is that we really need, when you develop a proof of concept, an application on blockchain, starting from the technology and not from the use cases. Because at the very beginning of this project, we run it to just translate an existing process into the blockchain, which was completely suboptimal. And so we needed to educate also our team, because we onboard also a lot of business to be challenged, but also to have also relevancy in this ideation phase. And this is exactly something that we need also to learn, is what do you put on the blockchain and what is value to put on the blockchain?
Now that's a key learning. Simply trying to implement an existing business process the way you have it today will not enable you to take advantage of the capabilities that blockchain brings. Now, this has been one of my key mantras working with energy companies over the past few years. You know, blockchain's capabilities can be a catalyst for some companies to take a what-if approach on how they get things done. It does change the conversation. The theme at this year's Event Horizon was make your move. So ye have been off making some moves for a bit now. What advice would you give any companies out there that are still in a wait-and-see mode when it comes to blockchain?
I can just speak for what worked great for Elia, so you will have to adapt that to regarding your company. But the first one would be learn by doing, because we learned a lot by building this flexibility use case with the business. And first, you have to understand that it will take a lot of time to explain to non-technical people the blockchain concepts. And so, yes, you need to directly define time slots that are dedicated for the business experts to ramp up with the technology's concepts. And on the other hand, I would say that train some technician inside your company would be really great, because most of the blockchain workload that you will have will be to evangelize the technology inside your departments. And so you will have to answer a lot of different questions, technical, non-technical. So having someone really with a good knowledge of blockchain inside the company is really something important. And based on our experience, blockchain must be tackled on multiple levels. So you will need someone with development skills, but also someone with good communication capabilities that can evangelize this technology, and also someone with a good background in mathematics to handle the privacy. So yes, maybe you will find a unicorn, but I think at some point you will need a multidisciplinary team.
Loic, would you add anything?
We worked since the beginning and take the decision since the beginning to work with external startups, because there are now more and more professional startups that could support a company like Ilya. And since the blockchain technology is changing so fast at the moment, it's quite difficult and even impossible for an innovation team within Ilya, except if you have a dedicated guy that's purely working on this, to follow the blockchain and to be relevant 100% on the blockchain. So that's why partnering with startups like Settlement and like also we did with Activity is also, for me, for the moment, a means to develop our new blockchain solutions.
At the beginning of this podcast, Loic, you mentioned the Internet of Energy. What is this?
The foundation of this Internet of Energy project is a real-time communication platform, which is at the end also complementary with the blockchain, because it's really purely focusing on the real-time communication of data. And based on this data, on this platform for transferring data in real time, we have built an ecosystem of players that is reflecting about different solutions to support the energy transition. So this is also something showing that Ilya is really moving towards more innovative business and has the willingness to become also a reference in the innovation in the TSO sector.
Okay, and as a follow-on, I think it was during one of the Ilya sessions at Event Horizon that one of your team mentioned how ye saw blockchain as being strategic. So how does your blockchain-enabled flexibility market fit into this Internet of Energy?
That's a very good question, Kevin. If you consider the three technology like artificial intelligence, blockchain, and Internet of Energy, these three technologies will enable you to shift from a centralized power plant towards that is managed with non-scalable solutions, like you have one trader, you have one big ETRM, so energy trading system, you have also one operator that's doing the planning, towards a more decentralized power plan by using, for example, the artificial intelligence to plan in real time the flexibility that you will have, because you cannot always plan what you will have of flexibility with your heat pump, depending on the temperature, it will not be the same from a day to another. Then you can use a blockchain for all the transaction part, which is replace a bit the back office that is happening between the power plant, the centralized power plants, and all the TSO and the flexibility user. And finally, you have the Internet of Energy for the real-time communication that would be complementary with a SCADA system that is existing now, for example, in a classical power plant. So if you take these three technology in parallel, you will have the full package in order to play the role of a power plant with thousands or millions of different flexibility needs.
Well, you certainly have some ambitious goals. I wish you well. And thanks a lot for taking the time to have a chat.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks a lot.
Well, that's it for this series of Energy Singularity. When we started out, we had planned 6 episodes for this series. We got to 10. You know, there's a lot to talk about when it comes to blockchain and energy. Now, you never know, we might be back for a second series. So if you think we should, please do let us know, and let us know what topics and companies we should cover. So thank you all for listening to the series. 10 episodes and almost 5,000 downloads later, it's certainly been fun. Personally, I've enjoyed chatting to all the guests, some of the leading visionaries out there, making their move. It's been fun. And now podcasts do live on. So please do give us a review and join the conversation to share your thoughts with us via social media. You'll find all the relevant social media accounts in the show notes. Thanks a lot and take care.